So yesterday we ended off the daf in the bottom of Membed Amadbed, discussing the issue of Hamit Isho Isha, the fact that it's repeated twice in the Pasuk. So Rabbi Kiva says that's no problem. Once they come to teach you that the Yorshim of the Isha get her damages, just like the Yorshim of the Ish get his damages, Meir challenged Rabbi Kiva from his own position that in general the first inheritor to a wife is the husband. So why are we sending it down to her Yorshim and not to the husband? So the Gemara says it's unique to Kofir, because Kofir has this unusual part to it that it's only, the chiyuv only becomes, the application only really stems from the fact that she's dead. So it only comes, or it's only in effect after she has passed away. And if that's the case, it's what's called ra'ui k'mukhuzak. We know that a husband only inherits his wife from that which he has in possession prior to the death. But we'll have things that come after death, or that she's ra'ui to inherit, that he doesn't take possession of. So Mar says, fine. Alright, that's great, but what about Nizakin? We have an exact case like this in Nizakin, where he says the exact same thing the Bryce says, that the husband inherits, the Yorshim of the husband inherit him, and the Yorshim of the wife inherit him, and the husband's out of luck again. So the Gemara said, no problem, we're talking about a grusha. The case of divorce, saying again, the case of divorce, the Gemara says, well, what are you going to do about the Mevel Adot? The Mevel Adot, if they're divorced, why doesn't the woman have any share in the Mevel Adot? I mean, when they're married, at least you could argue that it all goes to the Baal, that's fine. But if they're divorced, why is it all going to the Baal? What happened to the woman here? So I said, now that's the case, that's Xeris HaKaduf, that when it comes to the Mevel Adot, they belong to the Boel. Even if it is a, what we call illicit Boel, even if it is a nous, any piece of problem, Tosus points out only to a certain extent, meaning that it has to be somebody who's Ra'ui L'Krot Baal. Meaning that if someone has a riot or something like that, then they don't have any ownership over the Mevel Adot. It has to be something that could have possibly been a Baal to this woman. And therefore, the Gemara solves the problem because it's a grusha. Now the Gemara challenges this whole position based on what Tzvi was asking yesterday. Wait a minute, if the whole issue here is ra'oi to mukhuzak, why don't we come up with other cases where we have ra'oi and not mukhuzak? Because you're saying the principle is unique to kofir, but the principle is premised on the idea that a husband gets mukhuzak and he doesn't get ra'oi. So just come up with other situations where you have ra'oi and not mukhuzak. And that's what the Gemara is going to ask right now. Amar says it's 2, 4, 6 lines down on Mem Gimel Amraus. V'nukma l'rabo k'gon shegavu ma'ot u'l'Rav Nachman k'gon shegavu karka. So I'm doing a machlokus between Rabo and Rav Nachman when it comes to Ra'ui k'mukzak. Now Ra'ui k'mukzak also affects other inheritors, including the Bechor. A Bechor takes Pishnayim, right, gets a double portion in the inheritance. But the Bechor is only entitled to a double portion in the inheritance with things that are mukhzak, that are there beforehand, that which is ra'ui, right, he does not take any possession of, or he doesn't get a double portion of. Now, what is the case here? The case that they're arguing about, or they're discussing, Rabban Rav Nachman, is a case where father had a loan out, right, that when he had a loan out, and now he wants to, the Yorshim want to come, the children want to come and collect back that loan. Question is, how are they repaid for that loan? Right? When they're repaid for that loan, there are two possibilities. They can either be repaid for the loan through cash, right? If somebody comes back, the debtor pays the money back to them in cash. Or the possibility is that they pay back in karka. I mean, they take collateral, that they take the karka, the collateral to the loan, and they collect on that to get their loan repaid. So Rabbo is of the belief that if they take karka as payment, if they take land, real estate as payment, real property as payment for the loan, then that was considered mukhzak. It was as if it was there beforehand. Why is that? What does it mean it was as if it was there beforehand? Because the property was always mishubat. There was always a lien on this property. So it was as if the property was collected prior, right, to the death of their father, and therefore the bechor would get a double portion if it was property. On the other hand, if it's metalkalin, right, if it's cash that he's paying, right, generally we have ma'ot, right, when his father gave the loan, that money is used up already. The money that they're repaying is in lieu of the money that their father put out. This is new money. That is considered ra'oi. That's Rabba's position. Rabba's position is real estate, real property is considered, the things that you had to lean on are considered to be as if it was mukhzak. And money, monetary, right, cash, is considered to be ra'oi because it's new money that he's handing them after the death of the father. On the other hand, Rav Nachman holds just the opposite. Rav Nachman says, look, when he made a loan, he doesn't expect to get paid back property. The property is simply collateral towards the loan. So when he gets repaid property, that's something that's totally new because it's not really what they intended for the repayment of the loan. On the other hand, if he repays with cash, again, aside from what Rashi says here, it's not so clear to me what the logic behind Rav Nachman is, but that when he pays cash, that's what the father lent out, cash, and getting back cash, and that's like kumuzak, according to Rav Nachman. So there my focus. What's considered Rahui and what's considered mukzak?
So according to Rav Nachman, what's considered
Rahui? Karka. Karka is considered Rahui because that wasn't the intended payment for this loan. It was only collateral for the loan, and when you pay for it, it's almost as if it's a new thing because you intended to get cash back for this loan. When you give karka, it's as if something new came into the picture. On the other hand, mukzak is when you pay cash, which is the cash that I intended to get back. I paid out with cash. Right. It's the opposite of Rabbi. Right. Right. I would say that generally when we look through the Gemara, when it says, Milvalo son itna, right, son itna, that these aren't the money that you give back, it's not the exact same money. Karka is generally assumed to be there all the time and considered to be steady. So Rabbi's position makes seems to make more sense.
Like the concept, sort of not from the concept of Shibud, is very, very weak. I mean, we also have to explain that.
Well, if there's no shibud exists, it's just that's not the intended payment. That's always a collateral, right? Right, but it's not what I intended to get paid from. So that I wouldn't say I collected. That's we have that machusim beton bajam, I over chat. Whether when you have something that gavut is kilu gavutam, right? And when I have the ability to collect that of karkas, as if I collected already or not. Right, so Rab was leaning a little bit towards Beit Shammai in that it, when I have collateral there, it's as if that's what I collected from all the way along. He tells us, no, when it's there, it's available to me, but that doesn't mean I collected on it yet until afterwards. I think with the karka, I can see his logic a little bit. With the gemara, I have a harder time understanding. The gemara's suggestion is right now, well, if you want to come up with a case where a woman could inherit, her inheritors would take the nezek or any money that she gets, right, and the husband would not get a part of that picture, why go to Grusha? I have a simple solution for you. And that's what the Gemara says. V'nukma the rabba kagon shagavu ma'ot. Set it up for rabba, as if when they were govim ma'ot. There was some loan outstanding, right? The woman got paid in cash, for whatever loan was outstanding, whatever was outstanding here. And guess what? The husband doesn't get a part of that, because according to rabba, ma'ot are ra'oi and not mukzak. And according to Rav Nachman, where they were govu karka. Case where she took karka as collection, so therefore, again, when the yorshim take karka as collection, according to Rav Nachman, the husband has no rights to that because that was again ra'oi below mukzak. Why are we going through all these crazy cases of grusha and all these other opportunities? Here we have just basic cases of ra'oi mukzak, which I think was what you were proposing yesterday. Damarabo, gavu karka yeshlo, gavu ma'od einlo. This again, this is Pish 9 for the Bechor. They're gavu karka, you get the double part of that in the double portion. If it's ma'od, not Rav Nachman's the opposite. Or gavu ma'od yeshlo, he gets part of the double portion, and gavu karka einlo. No rights to that in the double portion. So Amrei, the Gemara says, no, that's okay. Hane mile libnei marovod libadirabonon. That case, the machlokas between Rabbi and Rav Nachman is according to the position of the Rabbanan. Now, not according to Ki Kamrei Hoch over here, the machlokas is according to Rabbi. The machlokas, Rabbi and the Chachamim. What is the machlokas between Rabbi and the Chachamim? So that has to do with another case. This case is a case where the father lent out money, alright, and when he lent out money, he lent it out with ribis. Right, so he collects back, they collect back the loan, plus they collect back ribis on the loan. So assume that he lent it out to a guy. So it was mutter, he lent out, it was a fine contract, he's collecting back the loan, and he gets back ribis along with the loan. So the question now is, when it comes to that loan and the ribis, what is the status of that loan, and what is the status of that ribis? So now, when you have a b'chor that comes and looks at the milveh. The milveh was something, according to at least Rabbah and Rav Nachman arguing about exactly what was repaid in the milveh. But everybody agrees that when the core loan was paid back, right, that the b'chor had some entitlement to, depending on what he paid back, either money or karka, according to Rabbah and Rav Nachman. The question comes up with ribis, with regards to the interest on the loan. The interest on the loan is shevach, right, that came onto the property that was after or was in existence at the time that the father passed away. So now, the Chachamim believe that the Bechor gets Pishnayim in the core loan, in the Keren, in the principal, but he doesn't get any rights to the Ribis. So that's now, when we had Machlokas Rav and Rav Nachman, they were discussing in the position of the Chachamim, who say that you only get the Keren, you only get the core loan back, not the Ribis back, because the Bechor is only entitled to take a portion of the core, not of the ribit. They're arguing about what does that mean? He gets a portion of the core loan. That depends. They get paid with karka or they get paid with maoz. Now Rabbi, on the other hand, believes that even in the ribit, the bechor gets pi shnayim. The bechor has rights to the ribit. Now, if according to him, the bechor has rights to the ribit, right, karka money, he believes that the shevach, everything comes to the bechor. The bechor has rights to
the ribit. Oh,
so very good. Now, where is there a con? Right.
Yes.
Now, okay, first of all, why did the Gemara have to answer over here about Grusha? That's according to Rabbi. Because according to Rabbi, this Roif Mukhzak is very hard to find. Because almost everything is considered Mukhzak. If Ribit is Mukhzak, then almost everything is Mukhzak. That's why the Gemara had to come to the Grusha answer. Now, David asked a valid question. Is there any case where it's Roif Mukhzak according to Rabbi? And that Rashi says, yes, there is that one case. What's that one case? Kofar. Kofar is the one case that even Rabbi would agree that it's Roif Mukhzak. Why? Because there, the whole definition of kofar is that it only comes after she's dead. I mean, other things, when you have the loan that's outstanding, the ribit, things like that were put in place, the obligations were put in place prior to the death. On the other hand, by a person, the woman who passes away, by kofar, the obligation doesn't even start until she's dead. So therefore, that's exactly the one case where Rabbi would agree, right, that it's Roi and not Mukhzak in the case of kofar. And that's exactly what the flow of this Gemara is. This whole Gemara was a leave of the Rabbi. That's why the Gemara said kofar is a unique case where it's Roi Mukhzak and the woman's inheritors would get it and not the husband. Number two is the case in the Zakin, right? We explained according to its Grusha that the only way to say it's not Roi and not Roi and Mukhzak, right, is to explain it that it's Grusha and therefore the husband has nothing to do with the money. And the Machlokes that we brought are Rabbi Rav Nachman is not relevant because that's Rabbi. They are arguing in the position of the Rabbonim. According to Rabbi, there's nothing to discuss. Everything is Mukhzak, and therefore the Machlokes Rav Nachman and Rabbi are not really relevant to our Gemara. Alright, so now, hopefully, Sri, that answered your question about why we couldn't answer the normal case of Roi Kumukhzak. Because according to Rabbi, it really doesn't exist. There's one case where it exists, and that's the case of Kofar. Alright. Amar Reish Lakish, Hashem Ben Lakish. Sure. Shehimit et eved shelo bikavana. A shor that kills an eved unintentionally. Patur mishloshim shkalim. It's patur mishloshim shkalim. Why? Shenemer. Ketzer shloshim shkalim yitain la'adunav. By shor yisakel. When do you pay 30 shekel for the eved? When the shor yisakel. When the shor gets put to death. Called manja shor b'skila habali mishalmim shloshim shkalim. Ein a shor b'skila. Ein a bali mishalmim shloshim shkalim. And here when the shor kills unintentionally, right there in that instance, he's not going to be put to death. And since he's not going to be put to death, you won't pay the shloshim shkalim. So Amar Rava, Rava creates a similar case. Shor shemit ben chorin shall lo become enough, patur mikofer. Right, we can come to the same case. A ben chorin, a regular person, that's killed by a shor unintentionally, the mazik, the owner of the shor, will be patur from kofer. Why is that? Shinemar shor yisakel begamba lav yumat. Im kofar yishatolav. When does kofar come to effect? When the shor yisakel. Kol zman shor b'tzkila bali mishalmim kofar. Ein ashor b'tzkila, ein bali mishalmim kofar. Again, it's a very simple equation. That the shor needs to die. The premise for paying shloshim evet, and the premise for paying kofar all has to do with the shor yisakel. You have to come up with a circumstance or a situation in which the shor will be put to death. Right? And therefore, if the case or the situation that you do that is in a case when there's kavanah, when there is no kavanah, the shor is patur. And this is just as an aside, this is discussed a lot, but this is according to Rabbi Kiva before. We had Machlokes Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Eliezer before as regards to when is a shor chayav. Here, this Mara seems to be going to Rabbi Kiva because according to Rabbi Eliezer, you would be chayav in these instances. The shor doesn't have to be sakel in order for you to pay kofar because we saw before, Rabbi Eliezer says, even al pied achad or al pied balim. Right, you could pay kofar. That was the circumstance that Rabbi Eliezer came up with before. So it's not clearly not according to Rabbi Eliezer, but according to Rabbi Kiva, who says, right, when the shor doesn't die, there is no kofar. So that's the case here. Now, so the Gemara continues. Eight verbais. Hemit shor'ias ploni, o shoro shel ploni. Person says, my shor killed some, this person, or shoro shel ploni, or killed this person, this shor. Hazeh mishalem al pi atzmo. Right, he pays according to himself. Now, mishalem al pi atzmo, how can that be? When a person comes to court and says, my shor killed, the shor does not get killed. I mean, there's no mace. There's no shor yisakel here because, right, it's one aid and it's al pi atzmo. So it's certainly not shor yisakel. And yes, we're saying mishalem al pi atzmo. My lav kofir. So what do you see? You're paying kofir even though there's no shor yizakel. So when it says lo damim, it's talking about damim. So now what is damim here? This is an interesting idea that a damim, that the value of an individual, if a person goes ahead and they're sure, if a person goes ahead and kills a person, so the Torah prescribes that they have to pay kofir. They have to get kapara for this, and they have to pay kofir. What happens if there is no kofir over here? So there are two possibilities. If there's no kofir, you're puzzled the gamre. Or the other possibility is when there's no kofir, you still have to pay for the damim. You still have to pay for the value of the individual that you killed. Just like you would pay for a shor that was killed, you pay the value of the shor. Right? So by a person, it's a damim. What? Where the shor is going to eat that kill. When you have the case where the shor is not put to death. Yeah, this case right here. That's exactly the case. Right, the case is where you have 1 8 or you have the balim that comes. The shor is not yitzakel, so there is no kofir. There's no kofir, does that mean he's patur the gamre? Or does it mean when there's no kofir, he has to pay up the damim, that he has to pay up the value of the individual that he killed? That's what the Gemara is suggesting over here. That when the kofir is suspended, right, there's still damim. You still have to pay up the value of the individual he killed. You have to assess the value of the individual that he killed.
It could be more than kofir.
Actually, it could be the most likely the same exact amount. Well, how do we assess kofir? Kofir is the main nizak. Okay, if kofir is the main nizak, then what is damim also? The main nizak. It actually comes out to be the exact same amount of money. That's what close to that's over here.
The Torah never said you have to pay damim.
Right. So why do you have to pay damim? Right. So that's going to discuss why you have to pay damim. It might be because it's exactly like a shor. If you kill a shor, he's got to pay nezek. In kapara is an ability when you have an onish, a necessary onish, then you pay kapara to remove the onish. But when you don't have the onesh, then you have to go ahead and pay damim, because that's normal nezek.
You need kapara, you don't need damim, you don't have to pay for the
nezek. Right, no, that kapara is in place. That covers everything. So there's a Rashi, if you look in Rashi, lo damim, look at Rashi, lo damim. Ha, diktani mishalem, lav b'torah kofer, divai kapara. He doesn't need any kapara here, he's not needing kapara, because the shor is not yitzakel, therefore he doesn't need kofer to have kapara. Dafil lo mishalem nami. If he pays nothing now, you're going to eat leisle nechse. He has no other possessions. His only possessions are this, right? Sure. La bechlal onishu. He doesn't get punished anymore because there's no necessity for kofir. The shor was not yitzakel. There's no need for kofir. Dein kofir below tkila the shor. Right? There's no kofir without to the shor. Aval heichad leisle nechse. But he does have other properties. Al gorcha mishalem damim. The lo gora mita min zokin. Like we explained. Killing is no worse than nezek. It's just the greatest form of nezek that you can have. Greatest form of nezek is you make the person worthless, you make the shor worthless. So that's just a super nezek. So you should have to pay for the nezek. Dilo aske, avgal deno b'tkila, by the shlume, if he does damage to him, if he doesn't kill him, he's got to pay for that nezek. Right? Pchat demav, akonami, shalem demav, lo yoshav. So it's over here. Pay for the differential value of the individual when he was alive and now when he's dead. So damim should exist. Right, irrespective of the need for kapara. If you have kofir, it covers everything. But without kofir, maybe the damim should come present. Now Tosfos says, if that's the case, if you hold kofir to main nizak, he says, ma'ika ben damim l'kofir. Okay. Right, it comes out to be the exact same amount. Right, exactly. It's just the definition of that money.
I understand.
Ben Chorin, you pay for kofir, you pay to main nizak, the value of the one who's killed.
What?
And then if you pay damim, you're paying the value of the one who's killed. It's the exact same amount of money.
Wouldn't have to be.
So near the Reed says, the kagon shemait the mazik. The mazik dies. The ain't kapara lachar mita. The mazik dies, then the yershim don't have to pay because there's no kapara. Mita is the ultimate kapara. So there's no need to pay for kofar after mita. On the other hand, for damim, that's an obligation that exists or survives, right, the death of the mazik. So it'll turn out like this. Amazing now, according to this, that if a shor is killed b'kavana, and you're chayav kofir, and the mazik dies, it's patur. If the shor kills shelo b'kavana, unintentionally, you're chayav damim, and it'll survive. So it'll be a chumrah. The shor that kills shelo b'kavana will be more chamor than a shor that kills b'kavana, because when the mazik dies, you're patur b'kofir, but if the mazik dies, you're not patur from damim. So anyway, it's just, another nafkaminas are between damim and kofir is about mechila. That's the other possibility. If you're talking about kofir, the nizak has no right to be mochel on that because, or the yoshua nizak, because it's not monetary payment to them, it's kapara. He's got to pay the kapara irrespective of the mechila. On the other hand, if you believe it's damim, then it can be mokel. It's a monetary obligation. Monetary obligation, two people can between them decide how to deal with that monetary obligation. You could be mokel. So anyway, that's the some of the nafkaminos between them, whether they have damim or kofar. But what we're explaining now is that we can still hold the position of Rabbah that there's no kofar when there's no shari zekel. What's this verse talking about when it says that there's payment? Talking about damim, not kofar, but the damim.
And you hold it.
Yeah. Oh, there, it's easy to explain the difference between when it's mazik and the zak.
When it's mazik, you should still have also the damim aspect of it. I mean, if it doesn't cover, let's say the guy, then is it, it was more than the mazik.
Oh, but it's already prescribed in that instance that it may, that kofar covers the problem.
So it could be another kofar that if it's...
Right, that will work out. It's easy to explain what the difference between Dvei Mazik versus Domim, because there'll be different amounts. So that's easy to explain. It's a question when it's Dvei Nizak, then it's the exact same amount of money. Alright, so Dvei Mazik says, okay, so now if you want to eat Domim, Hey Mazik, what are you going to do with the second half of the Braisa? Hey Mit Shari et Abdo Shaploni. He says, my short killed this evidence someone else. Ainu Mashalem al Piyasmo. Right, he doesn't pay according to his admission. Why? Shloshim Shel Evid is a Knas. So when you're modeh b'knas, you are patur. But we just established that this mission is not talking about knas, it's talking about damim. So what type of modeh b'knas do we have over here by an eved? Before we were talking about a ben chorim, now we're talking about an eved. So it says, "Be damim, am I?" Right, lo amar le yachinam lishnui. Right, so why isn't he paying him? So amar le yachilna, he says, first of all, lishnui yedach, I could have answered you, reisha damim, seifa knas. You know, enokonami, you know what, I could have answered you that the bright says two different cases. By ben chorim, it's talking about damim, and by an eved, it's talking about knas. And that's exactly the difference. I'm not going to give you such a difficult answer. I'm going to give you a much better answer. What is that? Easy, damim. They're both talking about damim. But so what's the difference? So listen to this, the logic here. Miu ben chorim de mishalem kofar al pi atmo. A ben chorim pays kofar by himself. Why? Because kofar is kapara. Therefore, there's no concept of modeh b'knas when it comes to kapara. Behechi dami. What's the case? Di ati tagu v'aser de beit katal. So you have two eidim that come along and say this shore killed an individual. So the mimon of shach, the shore gets killed. Why? Because the shore tam that kills or shomerat that kills are both put to death. So mimon of shach, they're put to death. The only question now is it a tam or muad? Tam is potur mikofer, baal shor naki, and a muad is chayav in kofer. So the amar mari, and the owner of the shore says du muatu, that it's a muad, the mishalem kofer of piyatmo. He's going to pay kofar on his own testimony. Why? Because the mito of the shore is determined by the edim. The kofar is what he's clarifying here. Tam muad. Kofar is not a knas, and when he makes a admission that it was a muad, he pays in the kofar, right? And not no worries here. No modeh b'knas here. Hecha delek edim mishalem damim. Right? If therefore when there are no edim and he admits that his shore did something, he'll pay damim. When there is no kofar, he'll pay damim. Gabe Evid, she'enu mishalem knas al piyatmo. An Evid does not pay knas, but certainly shloshim shel Evid is definitely a knas. It's a fixed payment, no matter what the value of the Evid is. Maybe dummy, what is that case? Di atu edim v'sedube. Right, edim come and testify to katal. This shore kills an Evid. V'lo yadei tamu v'yav muadavo. I don't know if it's a tam or a muad. Now, if a short tam kills an Evid, you are patur. Short muad kills an Evid, you are chayat. Bamar Mari Muadu. So right, then the owner of the shore comes and says the Muad, that is the equivalent of Modeh Biknas. Right? Lo Mishtalim Knas al Piyasmo. He's not gonna pay for Knas because he's the one who made admission to the fact that he's Chayav Knas here. Therefore he's Patur. So therefore Echa Delek Edim, when there are no Edim, Lo Mishtalim Damim. He doesn't pay Damim. So the logic here is that Damim will only exist for a Ben Chorin and not for an Evid. Why is that? Because in a ben chorin, right, you could, the baal, could generate a chiyuv kapara, right, al pi atzmo, according to his own testimony. Therefore, al pi atzmo, he will also be able to generate damim. Whereas by an eved, since it's al pi atzmo, he can't generate a chiyuv knas, right, by eved. Therefore, by al pi atzmo, he can also now generate the chiyuv damim. That's
so
how we explain the rest of it.
Kufra is kapara by ben chorin, but by eved,
It's not kapara, it's not kofra. That's exactly the point.
Did you see that
right?
Before?
Yeah. So he said that the Gemara asked about kapara before, modevik kapara should be a patur, and the Gemara says, kufra kapara, not kinasu. By every we said, clearly knas. We saw that yesterday, you asked the other day, it's a fixed amount, it could be worth more, it could be less, it's clearly a knas. Alright, now, meiti rav Shmuel bar rav Yitzchak. Kol shechayav ben chorim, chayav be'evet, ben be'kofer, ben be'mita. Now we have a problem. Right, now we see that there's an equivalence drawn between a ben chorim and an evet. Whenever you're chayav by a ben chorim, you're chayav by an evet. Right, so that's the case here. How do we create differentiations between evet and ben chorim when it comes to kofer? Kofer be'evet mi'ika. So let's start with this premise. You're equating Eved and Ben Chorin with Kofer, just like Zvi just mentioned. Is there Kofer by an Eved? No, it's Knas, it's not a Kofer. Right? That is Kofer by Eved Mika. There is no Kofer. So what's the equation? El Alav Damim. That we're talking about Damim here. And we're drawing an equation which says whenever Ben Chorin is Chayav in Damim, so is an Eved. That's the case when we can't make the distinction that you just drew, which is that a person, a Ben Chorin, you could be a Piat Smo, you could be Chayav Damim. By an Eved, you wouldn't be Chayav Damim, because then there's no equation that draws an equivalence between an Eved and a Ben Chorin. So, Ikadamre, who mostly love, who may fargo. Some say that he answered himself. Ikadamre, Amalei Rabba, that Rabba answered the question. Hokvik Tony, this is what it means. Kosh Chayav Ben Chorin Bikavana. When you're chayev by a ben chorim, when it's bikavana, al pi edim kofer, chayev be eved, kenas. In that instance, like eved will be chayev kenas.
It's bikavana.
Right. When it's bikavana and edim, that works. Why? Kavana brings you to kofer. And if you have edim, then it's misa for the shore, you're going to pay kofer. By the eved, you're going to get misa for the shore, and you're going to pay the kenas for the eved, because there's nothing to do with you. Right. V'chosh chayev ben chorim shelo bikavana al pi edim, damim. Right, so now, whenever you have a case by Ben Chorim that is lo bikavana, al pi edim, according to edim, damim, chayav, right, in that case, damim, chayav, right, the eved, shelo bikavana, al pi edim, damim. Right there, in that case, the shelo bikavana, al pi edim, the damim, you also pay damim. So now, what do you have here? You have cases, you actually have three different scenarios over here. You have three scenarios. One scenario is, I have a case of kavana with edim. Right, coming out with edim is simple because in that case I pay kofer, I pay knas, and the shore is killed because I have edim that are doing. I have another case which is right, is shalobikavana with edim. Again, shalobikavana with edim. In that instance, I'm doing nothing again because shalobikavana with edim. Right, I am by a regular shore. The edim come along and say shalobikavana. So I'm going to pay damim because there's no kofer because the shore is not Yisekel, right? Won't get killed because of shelo bikavana. Nevertheless, I'm paying damim. So too by the eved, right? Even though there's no Yisekel by the eved because it's edim that are generating the chiyuv, right? They're generating the chiyuv. In that case, there will also be damim. Now there's a third case. The third case is shelo bikavana al pi atzmo. Shelo bikavana al pi atzmo. So by kofer, I'm going to pay damim. Again, because just like by when the edim come and I can determine whether it's a mu'ad or a tam, I would pay kofer. So to over here, shelo bikavana, when I come along, I'm able to obligate myself in the damim. As opposed to that, by eved, if it was a pi atzmo, I mean, even with edim, if it was pi atzmo that determined it, it's motivik nas, there will be patur. So when it comes to damim, I will also be patur by the eved in that third case. So it's shelo bikavana, al pi atzmo, I won't pay damim. So now the Gemara is going to challenge this position and says, wait, okay, now if we assume that you're correct, so then, amalei Rava, so Rava says, ihachi, esho shelo bikavana. If esh shelo bikavana, al pi edim, mishalem damim. Why don't we pay damim? If you create this case now, which says that anytime there's edim, shelo bikavana, right, then you're going to pay damim. Why by esh shelo bikavana do I not pay damim? Mara says, first of all, let's start with this premise. Umanale Rabba, Talom Shalim. Who says that you don't pay by Esh? Shlo Bikavana, Al Pi Edim. Who says you don't pay Damim? Like, well, Rabba makes an automatic assumption by Esh. Right, who says, right, by Esh, that there's such a case. Elaine, Mabit, Nan, not going to search for it. Because of the Mishnah we had earlier on, Hayag Zi Kafutlo, right, that if his Gdi was tied to a Gadish, the Ebit Samuklo, and there's a Ebit next to the Gadish, and the fire burned down the gadish, burnt the eved and burnt the animal. Chayav. What is he chayav for in this case? He's chayav on the gadi, and he's chayav on the gadish. Why? Because the gadi can't run away, it was tied up. And on the gadish, he's chayav because that's his ish that burnt down the field. But on the eved, he is patur. Why? Because the eved, hayalod ibra, should have run away. The human being has dot, he should have run away from the fire. In fact, that he didn't, right, he's patur. Eved kaputo, on the other hand, if an eved is tied up to it, ubdi samukto, on the other hand, the gadi is nearby, vinistrafimo, and everything was burnt with it, patur. What does it mean now that he's patur? So now, if you have a meaning of the Gemara right now, means that it's patur on the Eved and the Gdi. He's patur on the Eved because we don't pay Eved Shlova Kavana, you don't pay Damim. Right, so here, Shlova Kavana, he lit a fire someone else, and it burnt down the Gadish eventually, and it burnt his Eved. So that's Shlova Kavana. I killed the Eved Shlova Kavana. What's the din by Shlova Kavana by an Eved? Right, I by H. Right, I'm going to say you're patur. So that's what Rav is saying. I see that H Shlova Kavana, I'm patur. So patur on the Eved, I'm patur on the Gadi. So the Gadi either tried all the drop, or not at this instance, we're saying that your possibility that you're patur Shlova Kavana.
Why was it Av Kavana? Because that's, I mean, that's what you have to say.
You lit the fire somewhere else. So you didn't let the fire on the Gadish, you lit it somewhere else. And Rav believes is Shom Mishum Mimono. That H is a din in Mamon. It's like your shore, letting your shore go loose. It's not like you lit a fire Ishu Mishum Chizav. It's Ishu Mishum Mamono. It's like you let your shore go loose. So Mar says, that can't work. Why? Hamar Reish Lakish, Gugon Sheet, Zipa Gugosh Levit. They come, Levi Rabbi Mine. Reish Lakish already explained this Mishnah. Even according to one who says Ishu Mishum Mamono, the reason you're Patur over here is because you killed the Eved. And you killed the Eved by placing the coal right on the Eved. And the reason you're patur is not because of what we're thinking here, it's shalom become, a shalom become enough. The reason you're patur is because Kim Lezer Abed, meaning you have a death sentence for the fact that you killed the Eved here, that you placed the fire or the coal right onto the Eved. So because of that, that's why you're patur over here. So you can't prove anything from this case. Vela maha, the Tanya. What are you going to learn from this bright stuff? Chomer veish mi vibor sha'ish mu'edet lecho ben davar aruila ben davar shen roila. Ish is mu'edet, meaning that you pay whether it eats up, consumes things that it's supposed to consume. Right? Anything that's out there, a gadish, you know, a house, anything that's out there. Or a shein ro yila, which we said before is like the field. Scorches the field or the stone. You pay for it. Machen kein babur. Which is not true babur. V'ilu sha'esh mishalemet shalobi kavana damim, machen kein babur, lob tani. How come they didn't mention this difference? If you say esh shalobi kavana pays, right, then why is that another differentiation between esh and bor? So when it says, demotana v'shir. Who says this is an exclusive list? Who says that the Tana enumerated all the differences. He's enumerating some differences between there. It could have been that is a difference, but it's not enumerated. That's, Rav is not certain about this question. He says, he's a question. Does it pay damim or not? What's his question? Mi amrina, do we say, gabi shor, hu debikavana mishalim kofer, shalom bikavana mishalim damim? Because when he is, does it bikavana, he pays kofer. So when Shlo B'Kavanah is going to pay Damim. Aval Eshoz B'Kavanah Lo Mishalim Kofer. When Esh is done B'Kavanah, you don't pay Kofer. Shlo B'Kavanah Nami Lo Mishalim Damim. Right, then he also will not pay Damim when it comes to Shlo B'Kavanah. Oh, Dilma, or maybe the logic should work like this. Dilma, Kukema, the Gabi Shoro Shlo B'Kavanah Apagav the Leka Kofer Mishalim Damim. Right, by Shoro, Shlo B'Kavanah, even though there's no Kofer involved here, he still pays Damim. Gabe Isho, Nami Apagadu Kavana, Lo Mishalem Kofer, Shalom Kavana, Mia Mishalem Damim. So even though by Kavana he doesn't pay Kofer, nevertheless he should pay Damim when it's Shalom Kavana, Velo Yadinan, right? Teiku. And we don't know, and it's a Teiku. That's it. We leave it as a Teiku whether Ish Shalom Kavana should pay Damim or not pay Damim. The question about Ish Bikavana. Ish Bikavana. The Gemara here only queries about Ish Shalom Kavana. So Rashi says, why is the Gemara not mentioned Ish Bikavana? He says, because by Ish B'Kavana, it's certain. The Gemara simply knows that it's not true. Why? First of all, because it ain't kofer be'ish, so there's nothing to talk about. And number two is, the kim le derabi minei. So Rashi says, if you have either kim le derabi minei, there's no kofer be'ish, so by Ish B'Kavana, there's nothing to talk about when you kill someone. Tosus doesn't say that. Tosus says, no. The reason that the Gemara doesn't ask, he says, Tosus says, lav dafka. Ish B'Shlo B'Kavana, the koshkein Ish B'Kavana. The question will exist even by Ish B'Kavana. Right? Because by Kavana, the Gemara, he says, Toshus, you would pay Damim. You would pay Damim by Ish B'Kavana. But what about Rashi's question? Rashi has an excellent question, which is that it's Kimle the Rabbi. If you kill somebody by Isho, should be Kimle Rabbi Mnei, shouldn't be. Shouldn't be have to pay any Damim. So that's what the Tosus says, what? That depends. If you believe Isho is Mishum Mimono, even if it's B'Kavana, there's not necessarily going to be, right, a Kimle the Rabbi Mnei. Because there's only when you say Isho Mishum Chizav do we have Kimle Drabim when you light it far away. According to one who says Isho Mishum Mamono, you got to light it on the person themselves to be Kimle Drabim. But if you let the H in your field and you didn't take care of it, it's like letting your shore run wild. In that case, there is no Kimle Drabim. That's right. According to Tosfos, it's simple. By Kavana, Ish B'Kavana, you will pay Damim. According to Rabba, the question is only about Isho Shalom B'Kavana. Whereas according to Rashi, Ish B'Kavana is certain that you're not going to pay Right? You're not going to pay anything kofar because one, there's no kofar. Number two, there is no damim because it's kimelay derabim minay. Because must be thinking, right? Must be thinking ishum ishum chitzav at this point, which is the way we, right? The way we pass it. But right, ishum ishum mamono. Tosfos says no. According to ishum ishum mamono, you would have even by kavana you could pay damim. Right, just a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos about what the case of ishum ishum kavana is or when it is kavana. Kiyata Rav Dimi, let's just finish up to that here. Kiyata Rav Dimi, Rav Yochanan, Kofer, Ma Tamagomer, Im Kofer. Right, it says, Im Kofer Yishut Alav. Why does it say, Im Kofer Yishut Alav? The Rabbah, Kofer, Shalom B'Kavana. Oh, that includes Kofer, Shalom B'Kavana, Ki Kofer, B'Kavana. That goes against, right, the position that we just had before of, right, Rabbah said that it's sure that kills a Ben Chorin, Shalom B'Kavana, Pater Mi Kofer. Over here. Over here, you're right. Over here, Shalobi Kavana, he says you're still going to pay kofar, even though the shore is low yisakel. I'm like, Abaye, let me ask, Eved Nami. So why aren't you going to do the same thing by an Eved? Matam alor mer im Eved, right? So what does it say by, the pasuk by Eved also says, right? Im Eved igach hashor. So why don't you say the same thing by Eved? Matam alor mer im Eved, the rabbos Eved, Shalobi Kavana, ke Eved bikavana. Right? Why don't we say that if that's the case, then by Eved also, Shalobi Kavana, you should have to pay the kanas.
As long as
you're not mode, right? It's not mode because right. As long as they the chitay ma'ochanami that you do pay a knat in this case. V'amar reish lokish shorshe mitzah to evich lo bekavanah patur mishloshim shekel. That's what we just went before. Reish lokish says you don't pay it. Right? Says what type of question is that? Like gavra karamit? Says what type it is? This is the position of Rabbi Yochanan. You're asking what reish lokish says, right? Rabbi Yochanan argues on reish lokish. Right? Exactly. We see what Rabbi Yochanan argues on. Rabbi is going to argue on reish lokish. And now we're going to have explicitly ki'at the rabbin. I'm Rabbi Yochanan Eved, Matam Alomar Im Eved. The Rabbos Eved, Shalom B'Kavana, Eved B'Kavana. Explicitly, Rabbi Yochanan argues on Reish Lakish. Now, Ula Reish Lakish, Nami, Neima, Mit Eved, Im Eved, Lo Dorish. So it's clear that Reish Lakish doesn't hold of this drusha of Eved, Im Eved, otherwise he would pay kofar, right? Even Shalom B'Kavana. Reish Lakish says you don't pay kofar, Shalom B'Kavana. No. So then, maybe kofar, Im Kofar, Nami, Lo Dorish. Let's say that he also disagrees with Rabbah. He also disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan's other position. Does it, because Reish Lakish argues on Eved, does that mean he also argues on the kofar aspect of it? So Amri, no, possibly not. Eved im Eved lo darish, kofar im kofar darish. He does. One of them is darish, the one of them is not. So Amri says, Maishma. Right? Maishma, Eved im Eved. Right? What's the difference between Eved and Eved? Lo tiv makom tashlumim. Kofar im kofar tiv makom tashlumim. You have to look up the context in which they're in. What's the context in which they're written? When it comes to Eved, it's the beginning of the Pasuk. It says, Im Eved Igach Hashor. Im is an important word there. Why? Because it's changing topics. It's changing topics. It says, if the shore is gorged in Eved. Im is a transitional word that tells you that I'm in a new case. So in that case, I'm not going to darshan Im Eved. On the other hand, when it's talking about Kofar, it says, right, they meet Isho Isha, Shor Yisakel, Vagambalav Yumat. Im kofar yishat alav. What do you mean im kofar yishat alav? There is kofar all the time. What's the im there? In that case, you could say im is the word drasha, because that's in the context of tashlumim. There, the word im is extraneous. So in the case of im kofar, he's going to say it's extraneous, and he'll hold like Rabbi Yochanan, that you pay kofar shalom b'kavanah. But when it comes to im eved, he'll disagree with Rabbi Yochanan, and won't darshan im eved, and you will pay, right, for eved shalom b'kavanah, right? According to Reish Lakish, you won't pay when it's shalom b'kavanah. According to Rabbi Yochanan, you will pay when it is shalom b'kavanah.